A warning, this episode contains mention of assisted suicide. If you mashed up The Odd Couple and The Golden Girls and updated it for an audience reared on Nancy Meyers movies, you'd have Grace and Frankie. The delightfully cheesy Netflix sitcom stars Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin as frenemies turned codependent besties who navigate life and aging in the chicly manicured California beach house. The final episodes of the seventh and final season are out now, and perhaps more than ever, the show's attuned to the realities of senior aches and pains, as well as the importance of bonds both familial and romantic. I'm Aisha Harris, and today we're talking about Grace and Frankie on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today is film and culture critic Kate Young. Welcome back, Kate.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to get into this one.
Ooh, yes, me too. So for those of you who may not be familiar, on Grace and Frankie, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin play Grace Hansen and Frankie Bergstein. Grace is a straight-talking businesswoman who loves her vodka, while Frankie is a free-spirited art teacher who loves her psychedelics. They begin the series as adversaries, whose husbands Robert and Saul, played by Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston, are divorce lawyers at the same firm and close friends. After Robert and Saul come out as gay and announce they're leaving Grace and Frankie to marry each other, the women eventually become best friends and business partners. They live together in a beach house the couples bought before their divorces. Now, we're going to be diving into some spoilers within season 7, so if you are not fully caught up yet, go ahead, pause, and come back to us once you have caught up. Now, the show has always dealt bluntly with aging, but in the final season, it's especially pronounced. In one of the zanier plot lines of this season, Grace and Frankie cross the border into Mexico to smuggle the prescription drug Bonita for themselves and their friends. Frankie becomes obsessed with planning her own funeral after a psychic warns her her days are numbered, and a health scare forces Grace to confront her father's premature death and the idea of losing Frankie. Meanwhile, Saul prepares to care for Robert as Robert begins to show signs of dementia. Now, the cast also includes their adult children, Brooklyn Decker and June Diane Raphael, who play Robert and Grace's daughters, Mallory and Brianna, and Ethan Embry and Baron Vaughn, who play Saul and Grace's adopted sons, Coyote and Bud. The show was created by Marta Kaufman, who you may recognize as the creator of Friends, and Howard J. Morris. So, Kate, tell me about how you feel about Grace and Frankie.
So I've been reading the last couple days about how being a coastal grandma is like in on TikTok. I don't know. I'm not over there. But like, yes, the youth have caught up to my whole vibe. And like, this show is that whole vibe.
Yes.
So I'm very, very, very pleased with it. I think for me personally, at least like as I get older and I'm like aging out of CW shows, even though I'm still watching Riverdale for some reason, I'm really looking for more media that examines what it is like for women to age. Yeah. I don't really need to explain to anyone how like difficult it becomes for women to be visible in society as they get older and have their last bleep day per Amy Schumer. Yeah. I really am craving like models for what life looks like past this stage in my life. Like I want to be able to start creating for myself an idea of what I can aspire to. And I think this is a show that like not only deals with that directly, but like essentially says that the answer is that the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We should do a full disclaimer that neither of us are anywhere near the ages of Jane and Lily Tomlin or most of the characters on this show. But I think that point you make about the aspirational aspect of the show is what has also drawn me to it. Now, I'm never going to be a coastal grandma because I'm not having any kids, although maybe I'll be a coastal auntie at some point. Who knows? And it's very doubtful that I will ever have the sort of wealth, the unlimited. These people never really worry about their finances. Yeah. So that obviously plays a huge part in this fantasy that they have. But what I'm really drawn to is the way in which the show really focuses on relationships and how they change as you grow older and how they change as you may drift apart from people in your life in different ways. And I really just love the dynamic between Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. They just have this chemistry that has existed since, you know, 9 to 5, which was their first on-screen collaboration. And they just radiate this warmth and understanding. And what I appreciate about the show is over the 7 seasons that they've had, they have this bond. And there's all these moments where characters are like, I can never compete with your bond with Grace or Frankie. They've had multiple paramours. Frankie at one point was dating Jacob, played by Ernie Hudson, who you probably know from Ghostbusters. Grace was with Sam Elliott. They've both had their moments. But at the end of the day, it's all about their relationship. And the idea that you can have a soulmate well into your 70s and your 80s and still find that later on in your life does give like a sort of hope to what people of any age can kind of aspire to.
Yeah, I think what I find so delightful about Grace and Frankie as characters is that as the show progresses, like they become each other's life partners in a really meaningful way. Like they become each other's primary relationship and the people around whom the other orbits essentially. And I think that comes out really strongly in this final season where as Grace is dealing with some of the fallout from her marriage, she has to kind of come to terms with the fact that she doesn't want to do anything that takes her away from Frankie and that maintaining the dynamic that she has with her best friend is more important to her than finding romantic love because she has this really meaningful platonic love. Mm-hmm. But it's also just delightful to see an enemies to lovers romance, but friends. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the joy of the show is really watching how different they are. Their whole like perspective on life is entirely opposite, but they find ways to fit each other into that life. Like we go from Grace being, you know, eternally irritated by Frankie's like flightiness to essentially just like figuring out how to work around it and accommodate it. And it becomes something that like she now needs and feels like she has lost if it's no longer present. You know, when the show first started in 2015, like she just did not want to be around this woman. And now she's the only person that she can imagine spending the rest of her life with.
Yeah. I actually want to play a clip of a moment that really stood out to me from this season. So as I've already mentioned, Frankie thinks she's going to die at some point within like 3 months. And so she's like planning all these elaborate things and she's trying to figure out like, okay, someone might want to murder me and we got to figure out who it is, but I'm so likable. And then at the end of the day, she realizes that like one of her previous boyfriends, she hasn't made amends or they ended things in a not great way. And so she tries to get forgiveness from him. She gets the forgiveness, but she also is annoyed because he doesn't necessarily like her, like want to be friends with her at the end of this. And so this is Grace and Frankie sort of talking about this. And I think their different personalities really stand out in this moment.
You are an extremely loved person.
A national treasure.
Yeah, sure. A national treasure. You know, but isn't it so bad to be disliked? I mean, a lot of people don't like me.
Or you know about that?
I just really appreciate that moment. And by the end of the entire series, they really vibe with each other and know how to manage each other's feelings. Even though they still butt heads, you know that there is love for them. Like, it's there and it's not going to go away.
One of the plots for me that really demonstrates that, too, is Grace's panic attacks. After Frankie has become convinced that she's going to die and is fixated on that, Grace starts having panic attacks. And it's only when they sit and talk about it that she realizes that it's connected to her feelings about her father who died when she was young. And talking about Frankie's death, about losing someone that she cares so much, is bringing up that unresolved trauma for her. She makes, you know, a couple jokes throughout the season that they're WASP. They don't deal with things. They just ignore them. Yeah. But she does, in fact, have feelings and she does care for people in a really deep and meaningful way. And over the course of the season, she reconnects with her brother as well. And like getting to kind of really see her open up in a way that isn't, well, I guess technically they did have to pull teeth to get her there, but like that isn't directly related to Frankie like beating it out of her was really lovely to see that it's something that she herself craves, but she doesn't know how to deal with difficult emotions because she's never been forced to before.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the strengths of this show is that there is that evolution and it feels natural. Yeah. I went back and rewatched the first couple of episodes of the very first season and then some in the middle. And I enjoyed it in the first season, but I do think, like most shows or like a lot of shows, it hadn't quite found its vibe or groove yet, because so much of it was focused on the impact of that reveal that their husbands, their soon-to-be ex-husbands, were gay and having an affair for 2 decades with each other. And as much as I love it, it is super old school. This could easily have been a show on like a different network with a laugh track. I can see it. It's just some of the jokes are a little broad. And yeah. I mentioned Golden Girls-y. It's like that kind of humor, but like a little bit updated. And I think that it really started to find its groove once it kind of managed to figure out how all of these people could coexist, if not swimmingly, at least in a better way. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on like the way it handles the sort of the queer aspects, because Saul and Robert do, after coming out, they do have to sort of not only manage the fallout of their relationships with Grace and Frankie, but they also have to like come into their own as out gay older men. And later on in the series, Saul especially like becomes very, he's like, I want to be active in LGBTQ rights. And there's like this interesting dynamic between Saul and Robert about Robert's a little less into that, even though he's like, I want to do musical theater.
Yeah, I think with Saul and Robert, it's interesting to see them as counterparts to Grace and Frankie, because obviously one relationship is romantic and one is not. They still have very similar sensibilities to their original partners. Like, I think a lot of the dynamics that we see with Grace and Frankie are replicated with Saul and Robert, but in a less intense way, because they are still at the end of the day trying to nurture and maintain a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
All four of them, in their own way, can find a way to make this a foursome that actually works for them instead of the forced foursome that they were dealing with when Saul and Robert were having an affair. Because I think a lot of the early seasons especially are about the different reveals that come out of the fact that Saul and Robert have been lying for this long, both to their wives and to their families. And as the show progresses, we get more information about how they were coping with those lies and about living through that double life and how that affected Grace and Frankie. I remember a specific incident, I don't remember the season, where Grace finds Robert's like secret stash of apology jewelry that he just like bought in bulk to give to her whenever they had a fight. And she gets really upset, not because she like loves him or misses him, but because to her, those pieces of jewelry were like the one thing that indicated to her that he had real love for her. So to find out that was just like a weight upon her off, essentially, was really hurtful to her. As much as those two partnerships are separate entities, I think that the way that they interact with each other is also really, really meaningful, because Grace is no more tolerant of Saul's flighty nonsense than she is of Grace's.
Yeah.
And she's still as biting as ever with Robert as her ex. But now it's coming from a place of love and acceptance and understanding. And so to see them figure out how to stay the same and also change is really interesting and exciting for me.
It also plays a part into how they parent as well, because the kids obviously play a huge part in it too. And I don't know who is my favorite, but I think it might be Brianna, even though she's
100%
like
100% Brianna for me.
She might be the worst character and like the least changed on the show, but I'm actually happy that she hasn't changed that much. You know, she has moments of coming around to being a better person, but there it's often out of, you know, she's necessity. Forced to. Or necessity, self-preservation. Brianna, you know, her character takes a lot of Grace and sort of ups the ante. She's even meaner, even more sort of conniving, especially to her sister. And I really liked this season how they kind of explored that more, their dynamic as sisters, and how when they were younger, Brianna was really mean to her, and like she's still really mean to her, but she's also just hilarious and funny. And I love that about the show.
I have always really preferred mean female characters. Like, I like the women who are difficult to love, who are prickly, who are not so nice. And for me, Brianna is one of those characters. I really enjoy how much she simply accepts this fact that she knows best and that she's better than everyone. For her, it's different because she, up until the end of the previous season, was a CEO of a major company. And so she was able to, in a real way, like enact that belief in her daily life, because she was the one who was telling people what to do and they did have to listen to her. But I think in this season, as we see kind of some of those things be stripped away, we do get a little bit more growth from her, that she understands that she's a prickly person and she can continue in the way that she's going and she will be fine. But it does mean that there will be people and relationships that have to be sacrificed as a result of that. And so I'm glad that we got to see her learn it.
Yeah. Do you have a plot line or episode that you really loved or that made you fall in love with the show?
I really, really enjoy that Grace and Frankie get to have a really meaningful second act. Or I guess third, I don't know how many counts, but like they're just becoming like old lady inventors, which is just the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yes. There's multiple things that Frankie especially tries to come up with. There's like the yam lube and then the vibrators for older people who have arthritis or have trouble gripping. And that whole plot line, I loved that. I have another clip I want to play where Frankie is talking about how to market the vibrators that she wants to create. And I think also this is this type of humor that you get on this show that I really just love, and this back and forth between Frankie and Grace.
Vibrators aren't like donuts. People don't bring a dozen into work.
Because masturbation in the office isn't socially acceptable yet.
It's great. I love that.
It occurs to me, too, how much of that intersects with just, like, disability needs.
Yeah.
Because they're aging and their bodies are failing them and they can't do what they used to be able to do. And they are figuring out, in a very practical way, how to solve those problems. Mm-hmm. I just find it so inspirational, almost, that they're not like, oh, whatever, my life sucks. I mean, and granted, as you said, a lot of that is that they are very, very rich. And yeah.
And they have a lot of free time.
Right, exactly. They have the ability to just, like, kick around being like, let's just make things now and to have investor meetings. And, like, I can't think of another set of, like, older women who could just be like, here are all of the different meetings that we have lined up for our, like, brand new invention. But I still really appreciate how much they are focused on their lives are not over.
Absolutely. One of my favorite episodes is The Party, which is from a previous season. Grace and Frankie, one of their very close friends, her cancer has returned and she basically doesn't have much time to go. And she's like, I don't want to go through chemo again. I was told it's not going to work. So I want to die on my own terms. And this episode deals with assisted suicide. And the friend wants Frankie to help her and throw a party for her. She doesn't tell anyone else except for Grace and Frankie and like one other person that this is what she's going to do after the party. And then Frankie helps her and Grace struggles with it because she's like, this is not what I believe in. The way that Frankie is more willing or more understanding at first and Grace is not, seeing that sort of the way that it deals with that and deals with the different perspectives on assisted suicide, I just thought it was a really beautiful episode. And if there is any episode of Grace and Frankie you should watch, I'd maybe suggest starting with that. I mean, it's kind of a little more serious than the others, but I also think it gives you a window into how it balances both humor and sort of grief and sadness in this like perfect package. And I just really appreciated that episode.
And I'm glad you mentioned grief too, because I think that it's an under-discussed aspect of the show. I think, you know, from my own experience with my grandparents, like you hit a certain age and all of your social functions are funerals.
Yeah.
With this show, while their friends aren't like necessarily dropping like flies, they are having to grieve certain aspects of their own identities on an ongoing basis, whether it's as a wife or just like as a younger person who can do the things that they used to be able to do. And I think that the way that this show manages to make that a through line without necessarily making it the focus is really smart, because then you get these like lovely moments like in this last season where Grace and Robert's daughters realize that Robert is losing his memory and they have that moment where it registers for them that it is a real problem. Because of all of the work, the character work that's come before that, you realize like how heavy that is for them to really settle into acknowledging their parent may not continue to be the man that they know. And that's just how aging works. And I think watching Saul deal with that too, and understanding that like the rest of his life may include taking care of his partner, it's handled with such a light touch, but it is still incredibly impactful.
Yeah, that plotline really hit home for me because I've had that experience within my family and watched my father really helped take care of my grandfather dealing with dementia. And so I think the way the show handles it is really just beautiful and tender. And like you said, this is sort of an ongoing theme throughout the show. All of the characters at some point have had multiple health scares, mm-hmm. but it's not done in a sort of very special episode sort of way because mm-hmm. this is who they are. They are older. This is mm-hmm. naturally what happens as you grow older. And so that to me is like one of the main aspects of its legacy and the way that it deals with grief and with just really recognizing your mortality, which is why I think, yeah, this is the kind of show that people, especially younger people like us, should watch and enjoy. And I also have to say, we've talked a lot about the heavy stuff, but it's also kind of the perfect while you're doing other things kind of show to have in the background. Mm-hmm. Like it's like so digestible. And I say that as a compliment. Like I can sit down and watch an episode and pay attention the whole time. I can also like be doing other things like folding laundry or like mm-hmm. doing chores. It's just kind of a delectable piece of work that I'm really happy exists. And mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin apparently have a couple more projects in the works now, features.
That excites me. Yeah.
It's just like really fun to see the collaboration and how yeah. much they seem to love each other and love working with each other.
What is so appealing to me about this show is that ongoing choice, that decision to be friends, that decision to build each other into their lives is just deeply touching to me.
Absolutely. I think it's safe to say that Kate and I both love this show and we want people to watch it and enjoy it. And we want to know, if you are watching it, what you think about Grace and Frankie. You can find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And that brings us to the end of our show. Kate Young, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode was produced by Mike Katziff and edited by Jessica Reedy. And Hello Come In provides the music you're bobbing your head to right now. I'm Aisha Harris, and we'll see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about Russian Doll.